Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. So what if the key to better financial decisions isn't just about numbers, but actually about mindset? So we're going to help you discover how a simple shift in perspective can help you reduce stress, increase savings, and put you back in control on today's show.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in to Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin is a financial advisor. He's an independent fiduciary, been doing that for better than 30 years, getting folks to and through retirement. Kevin, always a pleasure. This is a fun way to just sort of sum up the week.
Hey, you know what? That's perfect, Steve. Always good for me to be here. I hope you guys enjoy the show. And, I've been doing this for a while now. And if you want to learn more about my background or if you want to listen to some of the other shows, just go to my website at silverleaffinancial.com. That's leaf like a tree. I've got all the podcasts from this entire year, and we do it once a week. So there's 20-plus you can listen to if you really want to do that. But it'll give you an idea of what I'm about and see if we might be a good fit. And if you'd like to set up a phone call, you can do that on my website, too. It's real simple. Just schedule a 10-15-minute phone call. That's how I like to start off. So I don't have to take too much of your time. And, of course, it doesn't take much of my time to see if we're a good fit, that it makes sense to sit down and have a more in-depth conversation. So please check it out. So what we're talking about, Steve, this comes from a study called Mind Over Money.
Right.
And it was put together by Capital One and a group called the Decision Lab. And it's something that I've talked about, that we've talked about on the show before.
Sure we have.
You know, is how so many of us, usually in our 20s, right, we get out of college or we go into a trade and we start to work on our career, and we get opportunities to, you know, put money in the 401k and to save money. Everyone's telling us save, save, save. So you get into this accumulation mindset, and I think the ones that are the best at it are very, very disciplined and very committed.
Yes.
And pretty much no matter what happens, they are putting that money in that account. They are saving that money for the retirement. And they adopt this mindset over decades. And then when they get to be in their 60s, and we've developed an income plan and talked about, we've had our conversations, we've sat down, we've put everything together, they're in a solid basis financially, and then I tell them it's okay to start spending that money, a lot of them have a hard time adapting to that. And that's what I'm referring to the mindset, because I think that it's very important, and a lot of times, you know, I'm very introspective. And I think it comes because I took a lot of psych classes in college.
Sure. Well, that helps you in your business, too.
It does. It helps me in my business, too. And because, obviously, you're managing people's lifetime savings. And so it's important that you get to know them and you have an understanding of them. So that, because we're running discretionary accounts, so we're buying and selling on our client's behalf without having a conversation every time we do it. And the reality of the matter, I used to have a conversation every time I bought or sold something with clients back in the 90s. And then I realized that most people actually don't want that from an advisor. What they want is somebody that they can turn it over to. Say, here, just take care of this for me.
Yeah.
And that way they can focus themselves on their own career and what they enjoy doing. A lot of them will tell me, I don't like that stuff. You know, so, which is what a guy like me is for.
Well, right? Exactly, because you love that stuff.
I do. I do. I'm all consumed with it. I've been calling myself a news junkie. I'm a financial news junkie. I watch this every minute of every day. And, you know, and I've been doing this is 35 years now. So yes, it's not my first rodeo. I've seen the different markets and seen the different periods of time. One thing on a side note, I will tell you, and I've mentioned it before, is that I find this market from an investing standpoint to be one of the most difficult environments I've ever seen. And that is because of the unpredictability of the White House and the administration and this whole tariff nightmare, this tariff war that they've started, where he's flip-flopping back and forth different days, comes out with those, what do you call it, Liberation Day, April 4th, when he announced those quote-unquote reciprocal tariffs that nobody bothered to tell him were not even close to being reciprocal, all right? They were just numbers that were made up that has to do with the trade deficit. Anyway, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a very foolish way to go about it, but that's the reality we're in. But because he's flip-flopped so many times and gone back and forth and then put on the extensions, it's created a lot of uncertainty for business executives, for people to make decisions, for them to be able to forecast, for them to be able to, you know, plan their supply chain. And now he's talking to companies like Apple saying, well, just make your phone here. It's like, shit, man, you can't just move your entire supply chain in a couple of weeks.
No, right? That doesn't work that way.
It just doesn't work that way, right? And so it's caused a ton of uncertainty. And so what I'm getting at is that this market, if you go back to early April on the so-called Liberation Day, the market basically took a 20% hit. It went down fast. And like it always does, we used to say, you know, eats like a bird, craps like an elephant, okay?
Yeah, I get it.
That's what the market does, okay? It usually drops a whole heck of a lot faster than it goes up. But in this case, we've had a really nice recovery. And that's because the markets are trying to look through it, and the markets believe right now that we've seen the worst of the tariffs. In other words, the 145% tariff that they were talking about at one point on China, I believe they settled in at 45, 50, 55%, somewhere in there, depending on exactly what it is. We still have high tariffs on aluminum, which we get most of our aluminum from Canada. And those are still at 50, 55%, big tariffs on steel. So there's a lot of uncertainty going on. So I think it's a great time to look at your portfolio, talk to your advisor. If you got nervous, if you were feeling anxious when the market sold off, you definitely need to readjust your portfolio. Now is a good time to upgrade the quality of your portfolio. If you have a lot of speculative or overly aggressive investments, it might be a really good time to rotate out of those into other areas that aren't as speculative, because we've still got two, 3 weeks until July 9th. So we got 2-3 weeks until the extension of the imposition of the tariff rates that he came out with.
Yeah.
We've got about 3 weeks until they get imposed, right? If they stick to everything the way it is now. Of course, we don't know that. But we do know that not one deal has been signed, guys. Not one. None. Zero have been signed. So as he said, referring to the guy in the White House, he said they mailed letters to all the countries telling them what their tariff rate is going to be, and you know, being I guess, you know, kind of autocratic about it. It is what it is. So we'll see how they come back. But I think the fact that he got, they threw this, if everyone's heard that nickname that really ticked him off, somebody coined the phrase taco, as in Trump always chickens out, and that took on a lot of it got viral, in fact. And believe it or not, nobody on his staff told him about it. And so when he did finally hear about it, he was pissed.
What's that?
I imagine he was. You know, but the fact is, it's because he came out with all these threats and he backed down. He threatened something, he backed down. He threatened something, he backed down. And so they started talking taco. And they're basically saying now that all these countries have noticed he keeps backing down. So why in the hell are they going to sign onto a deal when he's backed down with so many other threats? That's the theory right now. And so I think that's going to cause more uncertainty. It's going to cause more volatility. Seasonally, the markets are usually a little bit weaker in the summertime. It might not happen for another, you know, maybe it won't happen until mid-July. I do think we're going to go back down and pretend we might retest the lows. If we break 5,800 on the S&P, then we're going to probably go down to the low 5,000s on that index. So there's, it's been in a trading range up here between, well, last couple of weeks between 5,900 and 6,100 roughly. It's got good support at 5,800. And so I'm watching those support levels personally. But take this opportunity, maybe add some midterm or short-term bonds to your portfolio. You can still get 4%, 4.5%, 5%. You can get 6%. I can show you some earning 6%, right? So you can do that to diversify your portfolio. Maybe add some international stocks, okay? International stocks, European stocks, Germany, they've been doing way better than the United States. All right, so take a look at those. And I've talked about crypto several times. If you'd like to talk more about crypto, give me a call. Bitcoin has shown the best returns of any investment, period. For the last 1 year, it's up 60%. Look at it over 5 years, it's a 10-bagger, okay? Guys, take a look at it. It's huge. And I'm not saying to put any money in there that you cannot afford to lose. In other words, it's only money that you can afford to lose, okay, that will not alter your lifestyle. I've heard stories about people taking out equity loans on their houses to buy Bitcoin. That's insane.
That just doesn't seem like a good idea at all.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious.
No, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't margin it. If you can, I'm sure there's a brokerage firm out there. You can buy it, and you could probably set up a margin account. In other words, borrow against the holdings. I strongly recommend against that, okay? Because that can come down on you very quickly. And if your positions lose money, you're going to get what's called a margin call, which means you have to add cash to the account, or they're going to sell your position at a loss. It's down, so it's got to be a loss, right? So either you're going to take the loss, or you're going to have to come up with more cash. And most people don't want to add more cash to a losing position, and they wind up selling it. And that's when sometimes you get this cascading effect going lower and lower and lower, or higher and higher and higher when they cover. And so that's why a lot of times when there's a sharp market sell-off, I'll tell people to wait a couple days, because a whole bunch of people are getting margin calls. And that a lot of times leads to further downward pressure because they decide to sell rather than send cash in to cover it. All right. So I know I jumped on a lot of topics there, but the moral of the story is that I think we're in a pretty high risk environment. Okay. I mean, look at what's happening in the Middle East. We got Israel and Iran going at war with each other. We've still got Russia and Ukraine. We've still got the talk about China invading Taiwan. We still don't know the impact of the tariffs. We don't know the impact of booting out all the farm workers, right? All the people that pick our vegetables and the people that work in a lot of these factories. There was a bunch of raids in the, the stock houses, I think it was, in Louisiana. Is that what it was? But the fact is there's a lot of workers that are being booted out, and a lot of Americans don't want those jobs. So I think there's a ton of uncertainty. The Fed just raised its forecast for inflation to end this year at 3%. So I don't know if we're going to see any rate cuts at all, period. Not just this year. I don't know if we're going to see any rate cuts. Because to me, the tariffs are going to result in either smaller profit margins for companies if they eat part of the tariff, or if they pass it along, then it's going to be inflation. So to me, it looks like slower growth for companies because they're going to try to eat some of the tariffs, and higher inflation because they're going to pass along some of the tariffs. That's my personal bet. And that could lead to a stagflation type of area, which is inflation with lousy growth. Okay, so that'd be like 1% growth with 4% inflation. All right, and that's not a good investing environment. Okay, so I think it's a great time to upgrade the quality of your portfolio. Make sure you're comfortable with the level of risk that you're taking in case we do go back down another 20% to retest those lows.
Sure. Wow. Folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, it's 800-975-6717. That's the number, 800-975-6717, or the website silverleaffinancial.com. So we started talking about stress and how
yes.
financial stress is a big deal. 77% of Americans feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the impact of stress on finances. That oftentimes leads to bad decisions.
It does, because stress can be very. That's why I talk about having a stress-free retirement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Because stress can lead, it leads to fatigue. It leads to difficult. It's harder to concentrate. It messes up your sleep. It can cause stomach problems. It can give you headaches. It can lead to impacts on your physical health. All right. And you know what I learned? One thing I learned. Well, I learned actually a lot of things in the driver's education class when I was 15.
Okay.
In a driver's ed class, the teacher asked the class, which has more impact on a driver, a short-term illness or a long-term illness? And I thought, well, a long-term illness, because that's going to impact you for a long time.
Right.
But no, the answer is short-term, because it's more of a surprise. You're not used to it. And he was saying that this short-term illness is more likely to cause a driving problem, okay, because it's something the person's not used to. They haven't adjusted to it. Where his claim was that if it's a long-term illness, they've learned how to live with it. And they understand it. They know what to expect and when to expect it.
Oh, yeah. I see the logic.
Right? So my point is these things can impact your decisions. You know, that's why we talk about how a lot of really good money managers, they use strategies that are called rules-based. They're based on rules, right? It could be any number of rules. If you've heard the conversations on Wall Street, they spend a lot of time talking about factors. Which factors are most in play right now? And a factor is something like momentum, okay? A momentum trade. We have been in a high momentum market. Momentum has been the biggest factor that's been working in this market. But in other rules could be like increasing earnings, you know, increasing book value, higher return on equity, higher return on investment, things like that. A stat that I like to use to pick stocks is earnings surprises. So I'm looking for companies that have a history of beating their earnings estimates and then raising the estimates. That has proven very successful. And if you can do that successfully, you can almost double the market returns. So, but my point is, by using these rules-based strategies, it takes the emotion out of it. Because if you're following the rules, you got to follow. If you say you're rules-based, you damn well better be following the rules. Okay?
Right.
As a fund manager, and if you're a fiduciary, and you claim you're running rules, your strategy is rules-based, if you don't do it, you're breaching your fiduciary duty, which can lead to big, big problems. Okay? So it's important that you understand these things, but to me, it takes the emotion out of it, and it just makes it easier to make that decision. Because sometimes, you know, like when I buy a stock, I don't want to see it go down at all. I don't want to see it go down at all. I'm trying for timing. And so I would rather pull the plug on something that's a short-term loss that just isn't trading the way I expected it to, rather than hold on to it, cross my fingers, and hope that something good happens. Because I think a lot of people have trouble selling a loser. And what I've found is way far more successful, guys, is to sell the losers, hold on to the winners, okay? Unless something changes. If something changes, the reason you bought it changed, then maybe you want to sell the stock. But we want to try to reduce the stress. So I'm going to suggest if you don't work with an advisor, that's a great way. I mentioned before how clients will tell me. I had one of my clients tell me, why do I have to look at my account? I've got you.
Well,
I said, well, yes, you do, and I look at it all the time. But I do. She doesn't open her statements. She hasn't set up login credentials to view the account on the website in the portal. And I said, you know, just as a matter of, safety, of precaution, I think a good practice.
Yeah.
Right.
Something
is to just take a look at it at least, you know, maybe once a quarter, or at least once every 6 months, you know. But she's right. But my point being is that what she likes about working with an advisor is she doesn't have to worry about it, right? She doesn't have to worry about it. If you are a person that's a do-it-yourselfer, I would suggest you find some rules-based strategies that you're comfortable with, that you believe in, and then stick to them, implement them. There's all sorts of investments out there. There's all sorts of strategies. There's all sorts of sources that you can get. There are dozens and hundreds of different strategies that are all using rules-based theories, right? Some are technical, some are fundamental, some blend the two together, all right? So you want to have some sort of investing strategy so that you can stick to your plan. It's a plan that you can stick to that you don't have to let emotion dictate anything. And that, I think, is a good way to eliminate a lot of that stress and a lot of that anxiety, because my goal, like I mentioned before, is for a stress-free retirement. And to me, that's being comfortable, having money and income you can count on that is guaranteed, that you know it's going to be there. You got everything paid for, and you've got accounts set up. Like I talked a couple of weeks ago about having a fun fund, right?
A fun fund. Yeah, I like that.
A fun fund, F-U-N, fund. That's a separate account from your retirement accounts. That's separate from your retirement income accounts. It's separate from your long-term growth accounts. It's separate from your emergency fund. And obviously, it's separate from your bank savings and checking accounts. So it's a separate account. The reason I like it is because you can put as much money in there as you want to, right? That you obviously, we go through and we put together a plan. But then when you take the money out, you're not going to feel any guilt, okay? Because a lot of people, going back to what I started the show with, when we switch from the accumulation mindset to the decumulation mindset, right, that's an adjustment people have trouble with. And I have found a good way to help ease that and to make it easier for them is to separate, segregate that money. Because by doing that, when you take the money out of the fund, you know, you pull 10 grand because you want to take a trip somewhere.
All right.
You won't feel guilt because you took it from your fund. That was part of the plan. It's like, Steve, you don't have to worry about it, man. That's part of the plan. We got all the bases covered, right?
Yeah, I like it.
And I tell you what, guys, I think by doing it, I'm a big fan of the bucket approach because you segment the money into different categories. You could have a healthcare fund, right? If it's whatever makes sense to you, but what provides you with a strategy to reduce anxiety, to reduce any fear or stress that you might have about running out of money. That's the biggest fear that retirees have is running out of money, period. So if you can put together strategies that can help you reduce that fear, if not eliminate it, then I think you're going to have a really good retirement. And that's what I'm looking for, because the ideal retirement is being comfortable, right?
Right.
Being comfortable. And being able to do what you want to do, whether that's travel or playing golf or going fishing or whatever it is. I think that, to me, that's my goal, and that's what I incorporate. So we want to incorporate that in the plan, right?
Yes, of course.
It's not just about, you know, paying your mortgage or paying your rent or, you know, paying your utilities and your insurance and your food costs. We want to make sure we put money aside for so we can have a good time, right? So you can
That's what we work for.
That's what you work for, right? Let's have fun. Let's have a good time. And I'll tell you what, there's, you know, you're not too old to have a good time, right? I think that by doing it, by employing the strategy, you'll find that it leads to lower stress and less anxiety than you would have had otherwise. So, but I think the other thing, the next thing that they found that helps people adjust that proper mindset, if you will, is what they call embracing big picture thinking, right? And the way I think about it, it's focusing on long-term goals, right?
Sure.
You know, even if it's just for a brief minute or two, you know, I think that you want to find ways that you can take steps to maybe make your goals visible. For instance, when I started in the business, one of the things our manager would tell us to do is to get a picture of whatever at this. Okay, we were in our early 20s, young mid 20s. We didn't have anything, right? We just recently got out of college and we're just trying to figure out the world and figure out what we're doing.
Right.
Most guys at that point in time, they wanted a new car. That's what they wanted. And a lot of us wanted
to get the chicks.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of us wanted sports cars and wanted, you know, beautiful homes and vacation homes and all these things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you walked around my office, you would see on everybody's desk, everybody had a wall of, you know, cork board where you could pin something up on the wall.
Yeah.
Everybody had these pictures surrounding them where they're sitting. So that all day long, while I'm telling them, you got to be on the phone talking to people, calling people, they're looking at the reason they're doing it right behind. Maybe it's getting married to your girlfriend. So you got a picture of your girlfriend there, right? Maybe taking her on a great honeymoon or something. So guys had pictures of their family, of their girlfriends, of, you know, cars and houses and beaches and you name it. But by visualizing it, it's a constant reminder of why you're working so hard and why you're doing this. And so I'm not saying that people have to have these pictures all over the place, but you can certainly, some people set up something, they call it a vision wall, where they have a particular area in their house, they put these things, and they sit down and they reflect on it momentarily, and it helps kind of to base them, if you will, and for them to remind themselves why they're doing what they're doing. And I think if you take the big term picture, the next time you're thinking about, you know, I don't know, maybe getting the latest fanciest pairs of shoes, or getting another new outfit when your closets are already busting out at the seams, right? Maybe you don't really need another outfit, but you want one. And,
right.
You know, a lot of people buy a new car. And I say, do you need a new car? Or is it just something that you want to have a new car? And they're like, nah, it's really me just wanting a new car. And so I try to talk them out of it. If you guys have heard me on the show before, cars are a horrible investment. Terrible. They're not an investment, okay? They're not. Cars are a utility.
Right. And, yeah, you can't really think of us anything but that.
Right. That's what we should be thinking of them as. But what we all get wrapped into this thing, it's like, no, I want the leather seats. And you know what? I'm in Arizona. I want the ventilated leather seats. And so we held on. My car that I drive is a 2003. It's a 22-year-old Lexus. And I bought it brand new. I've taken good care of it. I do all the maintenance. And I've got, I don't drive a ton. I think I've got 130-some thousand miles on it.
Wow.
But like
amazing.
I said, it's 22 years old.
Yeah, that's great.
And so, and it still looks good. I wash it. I wax it, a couple times a year. I wash it all the time, but I wax it a couple times a year, too. It still looks really good. Most people have no idea how old it is. A nice thing about that, by the way, is Lexus has really not changed the design of that sedan in a long time. And so, it doesn't really look that different from today's model.
That's great. That's
and
right,
and so it makes me feel better about driving an old car. My point being is that I spent, like 50 grand on that car. And that was in 03, all right?
Yeah.
And now they tell me, oh, yeah, I'll give you 5 grand or I'll give you 3 grand. And I'm like, not a chance. And because it's still perfectly fine. It's in great shape. The back seat is like new because we don't have kids. Nobody's right. ever in the back seat. And so it is a fantastic car. And so I made the decision I'm gonna drive it until the wheels fall off. I'm keeping that thing another 20 years if I can. So I think it's important. My point being, when I was younger, I had the sports cars. I bought an Acura NSX when did I get the 1997? I got that, and it was a 1990 or 91 NSX. And if anybody looks that up online, these are beautiful cars. The new ones are going for, I think, 200 grand. And anyway, I paid 38,000 for it, and I wish I'd have sold it. I wish I'd have kept it, I should say. I wound up selling it, but I wish I'd have kept it. It was it was a ton of fun. I used to buy a new car every couple of years for my wife. I would get her a new lease every 3 years. And then I realized if I keep on doing this, I'm never going to get away from these payments, right? And so that's when I said, you know what? I got to be done with that. I'm done with these payments. When I bought her Yukon, I bought her a brand new Denali the same time, within a month of buying my car. The payment on that Yukon was $800 a month. Okay.
Wow.
And that was in 03. And so... So I finally figured out, Kev, maybe it's not such a good idea having all these big payments, right? And so it was because I was finally able to embrace the big picture, instead of looking and focusing on short-term wants, I'm now focused on long-term needs. And that's what has really helped me constrain and restrain my spending to the point that my living expenses now are a fraction of what they were 20 years ago. And that's 100% true. My monthly expenses were well over 10 grand a month in the early 2000s, and now they're barely over three. So that is
what a testament to you, man. That's great.
Oh God, I appreciate it. You know, at one point, I had over $200,000 in credit card debt.
Whoa!
Literally.
That's a bunch.
It was a lot, believe me. And it took a lot of work to get out of it. I paid off every single one of them, but I did it by using a spreadsheet. And I figured out, you know what, the smartest thing to do, pay down, if you guys have credit card debt, pay down the one that's charging you the highest amount of interest. I don't care what anybody says. That is the smartest thing to do financially, okay?
Oh, yeah, because the interest kills you.
The interest kills you. And guys, interest rates on these cards now are over 20% again. And I'm seeing the average rate at like 22, 23%. Man, and if you're making the minimum payment, you are never going to get that damn thing paid off, okay? It's going to take a decade. So you need to be smart about it, and I'm not generally a debt counselor, but I have had periods in my life where I had to rely on credit card debt, and it got ugly, and I had to put my head down and bust my butt to make money so I could pay all of them off, and I did. I paid off every single one of them, and my credit, we have no debt at this point, and our credit score is in the low, I don't know, 820 or something like that. So... It can be done, but the best move is don't get yourself in that position.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Yeah, and if you feel yourself slipping, stop it,
right? Because a lot of people, they've got two credit cards and they max them out, and then they say, you know what, I'll just get another credit card. Kind of like the U.S. government, right?
You're absolutely right.
That's what, Steve, that's what I started telling myself. Guys, as you say, if anyone's telling their legislators to pass this big, ugly bill that the president is touting, all right, One, you are gonna pay tax on your Social Security. That's already gotten yanked out. They might lift the income threshold a little bit, but anybody making over, I think, 150, you're still gonna be paying tax on Social Security. And it's a good thing, because if they stop that, that would pull out about 10% of the funding for Social Security and make it go broke sooner. They just announced Social Security is gonna, your payments are gonna be cut by 21% in 2033, unless the government fixes the problem. Okay? So my real quick point on this is that nobody should be asking for a tax break. We should all be getting together saying, you know what, we can pay more in taxes, especially people that have higher incomes and have more money. Because we got 36 credit cards that are all maxed out at $1 trillion apiece. 36 of them. And now they're asking for 5 more credit cards, each with another $1 trillion credit line. That's what the Republican administration is doing. They're requesting the biggest increase in our debt limit in U.S. history. And they want to take our debt to almost $42 million. Okay?
Billion. No, trillion.
I'm sorry, trillion. Trillion. Yeah, trillion, my God. And guys, this is frightening, because our interest payments, I think 5 years ago, the average interest rate on our debt was less than 2%. Now, look at where interest rates are. The 10-year treasury is at 4.38, roughly. All right. Short-term rates are in the high threes, low fours. So that means the interest that the government, a.k.a. the U.S. taxpayer, the interest that we're paying, one, we've got far more debt than we've ever had. And the interest rate on that debt is going from below 2 to 3.5 to 4. So that's why our interest payments are now over $1 trillion a year. If our interest payments keep going higher, this is what's freaking out the billionaires. Ray Dalio is a hedge fund manager of Bridgewater. I believe it's one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. He's been out ringing the alarm bells saying, we've got to stop this. There's just too much deficit spending, too much borrowing. That's why Jamie Dimon is saying the same thing. All sorts of billionaires are saying this. And you know what, guys? I think they got a clue about what's going on. We've got to stop this deficit spending, which is the level of deficit spending is the highest it's ever been in history, under a Republican administration. So if the Republicans don't give a shit, sorry, about the debt, and the Republicans don't care about reining in spending, who is going to stop it? All right? That's why I believe gold and Bitcoin are good investments for the long term. That's why I've been buying them, because I don't think any administration is going to stop this, and I think it's going to cause the dollar to lose its reserve status. So if you'd like to go further into this, I think we're bumping up on the clock here, Steve.
Yes, we are.
So guys, I could spend way more time talking about this than you probably want to hear. But I'm very, very, very concerned about the fiscal situation of this country. And so make sure you're taking steps that you're planning your retirement income strategy just in case your Social Security does get cut by 20%. Because unless they fix it, that's what's got to happen as mandated by law. All right. So by all means, reach out. I'd be happy to help answer any questions somebody might have or give you some suggestions. If you're looking for safe places to put your money, just give me a call. I'm happy to help you out with those two.
Provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.